You are now listening to a Bush Different Podcast.
Good evening. It is 11 past 6 here on Port FM with me, Papla, on the host. I am with my partner in crime, Professor Bok, here behind the decks. I am sitting, relaxing, waiting to chat to Lozette van Wyk, an admitted attorney, about the amended Employment Equity Act. But how was your weekend? Prof, hoe was jou naweek?
Mine was wonderful, sir. It was amazing. If anything, I couldn't wait to come back to the studio. Actually, we missed you, sir. And we are really happy that you are actually back on air again, sir. But my weekend was great.
Thanks. And next to me is the beautiful Lozette van Wyk. Wat vanaand gaan praat met ons oor hierdie ding wat ons so... Jy weet mis hoe gaan dit, ne? Little knowledge in the wrong hands is sometimes dangerous. But sometimes it's more about that little knowledge, because so baie mense aangaan en aangaan oor iets, dan leg het of daar een vier waar daar rookie is, is daar een vierkie. Goeienaand, Lozette, en baie welkom hier bij Poort FM.
Thank you so much, Papla. Thank you for having me. Yeah, you just said now the world, life is too short for fights and stuff. But yeah, now you're putting me on this topic, which is a very hot topic at this moment.
Lozette, can we start by yourself? Just tell us a short professional background of yourself.
Okay, Papla, so I've studied law. My LLB degree I've got it in 2009, and then I started practice as an attorney, and then I went into HR, in other words, labor law. So yeah, that has been my journey since then. First year I loved it, and up until today it's my passion. I love doing labor law. So I've been dealing with employment equity for the past 14 years, dealing with labor audits from the Department of Labor, assist companies in complying with employment equity.
I see Lozette was born in the year that I matriculated. So if you have maths literacy, I think you will get that right regarding my age. Yeah, nogmaals baie welcome, Lozette.
Thank you.
I think take us through this amended Employment Equity Act, and then we will ask questions after you take us through so that we have a better understanding of what we are talking about.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the most important amendments. But before we get to those, as you all know, on the 14th of April 2023 this year, the president have assented to the amendments. In other words, what it means, he approved it, but he has not put it into effect. He said he would like to put it in force. In other words, he wanted to take effect on the 1st of September 2023. However, that is not definite. He still needs to confirm that. So at this moment, everyone is very nervous about that, because we're all asking, so what happened on the 1st of September? But we will not know up until the president has confirmed and to say it's going to come into effect. All right, so let's go through the most important aspects. The one thing is the definition for disability, because as you all know, previously people that have suffered from a disability was discriminated against. Mm-hmm. So now they're part of designated employees, meaning they must get now protection. So they have broadened the definition of disability, and what they have included, well, previously the definition was it includes people who have a long-term or recurring physical, mental, intellectual or sensory impairment. So the intellectual or sensory impairment was added. Now, everyone wants to know now, sensory impairment is quite straightforward. You know, when you're blind, you suffer from the smell, the touch, and hearing. But what does intellectual impairment mean? It means memory loss. I'm just going to give you examples. ADHD, bipolar, autism, dyslexia, anxiety disorder, depression, etc. So it's just making the definition of disability broader. So we need to take a note of that and make sure that we don't discriminate against those people and do not just preclude them from employment based on the fact that they suffer from a condition like that. Then the second, which is actually the most important amendment, is that previously a designated employer, it means then it's an employer, a company that has to comply with the Employment Equity Act. It's not every company.
Okay.
Right. So what there was two requirements. You either have to have more than 50 employees in your business, or they will look at your turnover, your annual turnover, depending on which industry, because it was working on a scale. Every industry had different turnover amounts. So if you exceeded that turnover, even if you do have less than 50 employees, you had to comply with employment equity. Now, you can just imagine a company that just have 5 employees, but their turnover is very high, and now they suddenly have to comply with employment equity. But they don't have a high turnover. There's not a lot of movement. There's no structure. It was very difficult for them to comply. So fortunately, government has taken away of that definition of the turnover. Now it's only a company that employs more than 50 employees. Okay. So I think that's a very positive amendment. Okay, then in terms of employment equity plans, and I'm going to touch on the sectoral targets as well now, because a lot of people do get confused. So previously, and it's still the same now, the law do require that you need to have an employment equity plan. At least it has to be between 1 to 5 years. It can be 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year. But now they have implemented sectoral targets, and we will go into detail later on. But the sectoral targets is set for 5 year. So now people think, okay, now my employment equity plan also need to be 5 year. No, the sectoral target is a 5 year period. But my employment equity plan can still be 1 year or 3 year. I need to decide how long is it going to take me to reach that 5 year goal or target.
Is there a maximum or period that you want to implement yourself to say how long will it take me?
You can only between 1 year and 5 year.
Okay.
So 5 years the maximum. Okay. Yes.
Sorry.
One other aspect that also came into place with the amendments, which is a bit very confusing, not only confusing, but it's going to be a huge challenge for companies that don't have a union involved. Previously, you will have a employment equity committee that will consist out of employees from the company, that the employees will nominate themselves, the company will not nominate them, and then you will have to consult with that committee on a regular basis regarding Employment Equity Act. Now the amendment said that you should not consult with the employees, but with the representative trade union. So the question from a lot of companies is, but what if I don't have a union in place? And even if I do have a union involved, the employees on the floor and in my business know much better about the business. So now if I only have to consult with the trade union, will that not be a challenge for the business? So that is a question which has not been currently dealt with. Government will have to answer that question. Okay, so just to, let's talk about sectoral targets. But maybe before I talk about sectoral targets, a lot of people don't know what EIP stands for, and that is your economic active population group. In other words, the government are tasked to do research and have statistics to show, okay, this is the population group of people and race and gender in every country and province. And then they will set targets for you, which they call the numerical targets, that you need to reach in your organization in order to comply with employment equity. Now, previously, you would only get provincial or national, depending on the business. Because if you're a national company, you're not only going to look at the statistics of Western Cape, for example. But now, if you only have a company in the Western Cape, you only want to look at the statistic of Western Cape. Because you can think for yourself, the population in Western Cape, the colors are majority today, versus Northwest, for an example, KwaZulu-Natal. Indian is more, the population is the majority there. But now they said, but every industry is also different, which makes definitely sense. Think about a hospital. Now you need to comply with those numerical targets of which the male and the female is normally is the same. Doesn't matter the race. But a health or hospital is mostly employed, nurses are employed, so it's mostly female. The security industry, the construction industry, they are majority male. So now to put targets on them of how many females you need to employ is a challenge for them. So that's the one positive thing I believe the government has changed. So the sectoral targets have been announced. However, there was a 50-day period for government, for the public to make comments before government can actually say, well, this is set in stone and this is going to be enforceable.
Mm.
One other aspect that's very important is previously you will just submit your employment equity reports to the Department of Labor annually. And you will have your committee in place, your employment equity plan. You will have your barriers analysis, your numerical targets, and you will be compliant. Now the government went a step ahead and said, no, now you need to obtain a compliance certificate. And in order to get that compliance certificate from the Department of Labor, the government or the Department of Labor will first do an audit on you as a business.
Mm.
To ensure you comply. So you cannot only just submit a report and then thumbs up you are compliant. Now, currently, a lot of people ask, okay, but how is this compliance certificate going to work? Yes, it's online, but what's the audit going to entail, etc.? Nobody can give us that answer yet. We don't know.
Oh.
However, they have linked not only employment equity to the compliance certificate. Government said they can also check to see if you don't have any CCMA or any other award against you for the previous 12 months for either failing to pay the minimum wage or for any discrimination matter. So you might be compliant in terms of your EIP targets, you're reaching, you know, all the numerical targets in terms of race and the level and the gender, but you have pending or an award, not pending, but award against you for discrimination, or that you're not paying your people the minimum wage, it's possible that you will not be able to get a compliance certificate. Mm. So if you don't get a compliance certificate, what does that mean? You're non-compliant in terms of Employment Equity Act.
Mm.
And we will get to the fines later on, which is huge. And then also, I'm not a BEE expert, so I'm not going to go into depth there, but I just would like to tell you as well that if you're going to do a BEE audit as a company, in other words, if you want to do business with government, you need to show them that you are compliant with employment equity. In other words, you need to have a compliance certificate.
Mm.
So if you don't comply with employment equity, it means you won't be able to do business with government.
Mm.
So that's also an interesting point. Now, there is some justifications in the Act. And you will also even see now recently with the settlement agreement that was reached between Solidarity and government to say, if you do not reach your numerical targets, we will not force a penalty on you. But these are examples of justifications of stating why you could have not reached your targets. And the one is insufficient recruitment opportunities. Number two, insufficient target individuals from the designated groups with the relevant qualifications, skills, and experience. And the capacity to acquire within a reasonable time frame the ability to do the job. Three, insufficient promotion opportunities. Four, transfers. In other words, transfer for business is a going concern. So you buy a business, you will obviously take those employees as is. Court orders that affect the business. Mergers, acquisitions that also affect the business. Impact on business economic circumstances. Imagine, for an example, COVID, what happened after the pandemic. How did that impact a lot of companies? If it's a scarce skill. Also the rate of turnover and natural attrition within a sector. So those are all factors that you can argue why you have not reached your numerical targets. However, you cannot just simply raise one of these factors. You will have to prove that as well. Then the one challenge is, and which is one of the biggest question or debate, I would say, at this moment. And I was just now using in front of me, you must bear in mind, every industry has now different EIP targets. Just for an example, the financial and insurance sector, it will indicate that you need to at least have on black level or top management it must consist out of, your entire workforce must consist out of 51.3%. So a lot of people are saying, okay, but it's not 100%. So what about the rest of my workforce? Who should I be? Now, that question hasn't been answered. There's a lot of leaders out there that's experts in employment and equity law that make the opinion or give the view to say, government just saying to you that's the minimum that you need to reach, okay? The rest, so in other words, 51.3% must be black. The rest can be anybody. Doesn't matter the race or the gender. However, that hasn't been confirmed in any gazette or paper. So I will not go on that view, although it's other experts' view. What you also need to take in consideration, you still get national targets as well as provincial targets per sector. So it depends on the business, how you operate. And then previously, you would have get EIP targets per race and per gender, no matter which level they are employed. Now that has changed. Now they have classified top management, you've got a different EIP targets. Senior management, different EIP targets. Professionally qualified, skilled, unskilled, semi-skilled, all of them have different EIP targets. However, unskilled and semi-skilled, they did not prescribe new EIP targets, and everyone is asking, but why? Now, if you do read articles and if you do go look at the statistics, the only thing you can assume is because we have reached our targets when it comes to those levels.
That is semi-skilled and unskilled.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's your much lower level.
Mm-hmm.
So we have reached our targets. The problem is with the senior levels, top management, senior management, etc. Now, just to give you an example in the financial sector, last year we have reached 36.2% consists out of black. Now government is saying, aim for 51.3%. Now you can take that difference and divide it by 5-year plan. If you're going to decide to have a 5-year plan, it's possible for you to say, well, I would like to do it in 2 years' time. Mm.
Proactive.
Yes. Now, the biggest concern, and I'm sure the questions is going to come up, you know, if you look at the percentages, for an example, it says the African, 44.6%, colored, 5.2%, Indian, 1.5%, white, 8%. So the biggest concern for colored and Indian race currently is to say, but it's so low, especially for Indian, that is almost nothing. So what's going to happen with my job? But I'll answer the questions later on. Now, what I would like to quickly touch on is the penalties. We're not talking about small monies here. So, if you are non-compliant with the Employment Equity Act, I'm just going to read the penalties for you because it all depends how often you have contravened the Act. So if it's your first time, it can be either 1.5 million or 2% of your turnover, of your annual turnover, whichever one is the greatest. For a second time, it can be 1.8 million or 4% of your turnover. And for a third time, 2.1 million or 6% of your turnover. And it goes so in its scales, but maximum, you can get a fine of 2.7 million or 10% of your annual turnover. If you don't.
That's max.
Say again?
That's maximum. 2.7 million or 10%.
Yes. But you can just think of a JSE listed company that has an annual turnover of 10 billion. What is 10% of that?
Sure.
One other aspect I would like to bring to people's attention, because I know the African race, whether it's female or male, is very high. And that's the biggest concern currently for everyone. But for interesting sake, I have drawn a statistic for the total population in South Africa in last year. That was drawn. And African are the majority. The second is colored, and then white, and then Indian. And you must see the huge discrepancy, well, not discrepancy, but the huge difference with the population of African versus the other races. And that plays a role. That is how the government government has used those statistics in order to come to the numerical targets, the EIP in other words.
Mm.
One other interesting fact I would just like to bring to your attention is, and that is also the statistics for last year, to show you, you know, out of each province, not each province, each government or sector, which sectors have reached the EIP targets. Now, government consists out of 30% of the economy. The rest is private sector. Government have reached their targets. I mean, they were supposed to be at 43.6%. National government have reached 40.8%. Provincial, 49.9%. Local government, 49.1%. Private sector, 8.7% when it comes to African male. When it comes to colored male, 3.3% versus the target, that's 5%. Indian male, 7.7% versus the target, that's 1.8%. White male, 53.1% versus the target, that's 4.9%. I can continue going on to the statistics for female. It's more or less the same pattern. What it tells you is that white and Indian are still dominant in the economy. So what is going to happen now? Like I said, 14th of April, the president has signed it. And I gave 30 days open for public comments, which at that date has passed. It was the 12th of June was the deadline. So now they were going to review the public comments. They're going to consult with the Employment Equity Commission. And then they will have to make a final decision and introduce the final regulations, which we don't know when it's going to be the implement date. Yeah, that's about the most important aspects of the legislation. Mm. Unless I've missed something, but I'm sure the questions will come up.
So this amendment of the Employment Equity Act, is it more to force certain sectors to comply?
Not necessarily certain sectors. If you look at all the sectors, and like I said, when I refer to the statistics of, you know, what government has reached and what the private sector has reached, doesn't matter which industry in the private sector, we are not nearly close to the targets that was set. And bear in mind, we now are 24 years in transformation, in other words, since the employment equity came into place. After 24 years, we're not even close to the EIP targets. There was a statistic where they actually worked out more or less the growth, and I said we only grew about 10% in reaching the targets. So government is coming in and say we need to put more effort in to reach the EIP targets because we're not even close by. We're not making progress when it comes to transformation.
Okay, there's a question here. It says, how do these amendments specifically impact colored and Indian people in the workplace?
Yes, very important question because that's what everyone is asking, especially if you look at the percentages. It is very low. So I can understand that a person of not only Indian and colored, but also white will be concerned and think to themselves, well, what is the opportunity? What is the chance that I have for employment? Just bear in mind that and the government has stated that again now with the settlement of solidarity to say an appointment may not be based only because of race. In other words, despite these numerical targets or the EIP targets, you cannot just appoint a person because of race because you want to reach these targets. You still need to consider inherent requirements for the position. In other words, the person still need to have the appropriate and relevant skills and qualification and experience. The person need to still be suitable for the position. Also, no barrier may be created against any race. In other words, nobody may not be considered for employment because of their race, and they may not be terminated because of their race. So it doesn't mean now companies can go now and just retrench or dismiss colored, white, or Indian people because they are overrepresented in their workplace. You cannot do that. That's discrimination.
Mm.
What they say is if you do have an open seat now, and if you do grow, or you do have a replacement, in other words, somebody is leaving, and there's a vacancy, you need to aim more depending on your workforce profile, because remember, your workforce profile may be that you're already reaching your targets when it comes to African male. So now you need to focus on other races. You need to do that analysis. But if you're underrepresented with African male a lot or African female, government is saying you need to aim and see that you can get an African person in that position if the person meets the inherent requirements. In other words, if you, for example, have advertised and you get a colored male and an African male, they consist out of more or less the same qualification, experience and skills, who will be the person that get preference? The African male.
Tell me, you talk about excluding race specifically. Is that issue that Dis-Chem had with the CEO?
Indeed. The mistake that the CEO did when it came to the Dis-Chem memo, he said there that he created a total barrier against race. He said no employee from non-designated group will be employed in the business. And you cannot do that. You can only say that I will more focus and I will give preference to people from designated groups. But you cannot exclude a specific race from employment. That's discrimination.
Based on race?
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to take a break, Prof?
No problem, sir.
Okay.
I'm here. So right after this break, we will resume and then I think most probably conclude this subject, which is very interesting because there has been rumors going around. This one saying this, that one saying that. Am I allowed to perhaps bring the voices of those people?
Yeah, you may. You may.
I'm on air. All right. This is what the people of the community said. I'm not sure whether I should have played it before, but then at least let their voices be heard.
Only giving a certain amount of colors in Indians work, employment. And this is not fair, because once again they are suppressing us as colors and as Indians.
They must treat everybody fair the same way. It's not, they mustn't make it a racial thing. They must treat everybody equal the same way.
And we are the minority in all these things. You understand, what if you go to the Western Cape where the majority is colored people? What if you go to the Northern Cape where the majority is colored people? So that percentage will be little, still as it is in Gauteng. So this is really...
I'm not happy about it, because I have children, grandchildren, but yeah, what was changed in the past that we were not happy about? Absolutely not. But fact of the matter, I'm not happy about this thing. Of blatantly that we're not going to get jobs. If we apply, our application forms will end up in the dustbin.
Their voices are out there and they have been clearly heard. And their questions have also been answered as well as for their concerns. So we are going for a few ad breaks and perhaps a song, and then afterwards we will resume. All right, we are back on the host. Since the EEA topic has been the topic for tonight, someone reacted, right? Not reacted, or actually sent a response to Poort FM, right? And we would like Miss Lizette van Wyk, right, to please respond to the voice note which this person has sent to the desk of Poort FM. Let's please listen closely.
Minister, I think the new bill that they bring in, that they exclude coloureds and Indian and the other race, for this new bill that the president must sign or that he must still sign, I think is from the pit of hell, that you only bring apartheid back. And I think as we as coloured people, and as Indian people and the other race, we must stand up for this bill to be reversed if it's already been signed, or we must march to show that this thing is not right. I'm taking it back to the job in advertising that job for if they have implemented this bill where the president will sign only for the blacks to be employed, what gonna happen with a brown child if we don't gonna stand up as colored people and fight this bill? It must be go to court. We must do it, because what gonna happen with our brown child? Because you go to universities, get degrees and everything, and you're gonna be higher. This is the problem that we're facing, that our colored people can stand together so that we can fight this bill together. That is my other 2 cents in this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Naps, if I have it correct. Thank you for that valuable voice note. Send your voice notes to us. You have our number. It's 064-119-6074. We're going to ask Lizette to respond on that remarks.
Thank you, Pablo. Yes, you can understand, you know, how the people out there feel, whether it's now colored, Indian and white. Everyone is concerned and feel very insecure when it comes to employment at this moment. However, the one thing I would just like to say, in legislation, you do get something like discrimination, but you differentiate between fair discrimination and unfair discrimination. And everyone will deem this act as unfair discrimination, which is not the case. We need to bear in mind that the purpose of the Employment Equity Act that was established in 1998 was in order to redress the inequality and the discrimination that took place in the past. And therefore, it's deemed fair discrimination because the people that is now protected, or can I say designated, those were the people that were discriminated against. They never got the opportunity to employment. And also, the EAP targets, this is not the first time that we do get EAP targets. EAP targets has been there since 1998. So this is not new. The only change is now it's per sector and per level, and that the percentages have changed a little bit. And I will still say that it doesn't mean that if you colored or Indian and white that you will not get the opportunity when it comes to employment and that your CV will not be considered. Because if any company just decline you based on your race, that will be deemed as discrimination. The company is required to still consider inherent requirements of the position. In other words, if you still have the relevant qualification and experience and skills, you need to be considered for the role. It might be that another person from another race has more or less the same qualification and experience, and that person will get preference. But it's also possible that you're the only one or you're the most suitable candidate. You cannot be precluded or not be appointed, but just based or purely on your race. Thank you.
Okay. I hope that answered the question. So just a little bit on the discrimination of fair and unfair discrimination. Just elaborate a little bit on that.
So unfair discrimination is no valid reason to differentiate whether it's on an arbitrary ground or a ground like race, religion. Fair discrimination is where legislation has permitted it. For an example, in this case, where Employment Equity Act say, okay, we would like to appoint these specific people at this specific race and gender because of the past.
Okay.
Okay, right. Just to give you another example also where it will be deemed as fair discrimination, and that would be the case where I'm now trying to think of a really simple example because I know sometimes this can get very technical. Retirement age, for an example. People would say, oh, now that I have to retire because I'm 65, that's discrimination. No, the law do make provision that you might have a retirement age. Okay, so therefore you might be terminated when you turn 60 or 65, depending on a company's retirement age.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. I hope that makes sense to explain the difference.
Okay, we will have a few more ads and then the news, and then after that, if perhaps Mr. Pabla or Ms. Van Wyk would like to have anything else to say in conclusion or in resumption, that would be okay. The host, as we are resuming with the topic of the EEA Employment Equity Act, and we still have Ms. Luzette Van Wyk with us here, willing to answer more of our questions. Ma'am, if you do not mind, I would like to ask just one question, right? Yes. And it is, what sources or support mechanisms are available to assist employers and employees in understanding and complying with the amended provisions of the Act?
Thank you, Prof. When it comes to employers, I believe that they should make use of learnerships, educational bursaries, funds from other companies that have to comply with BBBEE that is willing to sponsor other businesses or employees for learnerships, etc., as well as the CETA grants that is available to us, discretionary grants, mandatory grants. Those are the funds that the government is providing employers to make sure that you upskill your workforce so that you can promote them and in order to reach your numerical targets. So that would be one aspect, in other words, education, to use that. Then when it comes to other mechanisms, it's very crucial for business to get an expert that specialized in employment equity to assist them and educate them. Like we just now realized, the Employment Equity Act is not that very simple legislation, but you need somebody that have practically applied and knows what the Department of Labor is looking for and what the aim is in order to consult with the employees and educate them and give workshops to make sure that companies do comply with Employment Equity Act. I don't think it's something that a company by themselves needs to figure out and believe they're going to be compliant. It's not a core business, so get the expert to assist you and to give you the proper guidance and advice.
So what you're saying, there are companies out there that can help?
Definitely. There's numerous HR consultancy companies that specialize in employment equity that deals with this on a daily basis. For instance, me. So we deal with the Department of Labor numerous times. We sit in audits. We assist the company to do analysis, to compare the workforce profile versus the EIP targets. We give them guidance of what to set as numerical targets that is reasonable and attainable, how to draft your employment equity plan, to consult with your committee members, and what to consult with them. You need to train them on employment equity. And as an employer, if you don't know the Employment Equity Act yourself and understand the definitions, you cannot educate your own workforce on that.
So if I need help, I can go look up Apex Business Solutions and they will do the thing for me.
Indeed. We'll definitely can be able to assist.
And in a nutshell said, apart from all of that, is that basically employees, therefore, should actually get training, including updated training, for them to be able to both comply, for one to be in the workplace and actually do what they have to do. Because truth be told, is if I heard you right, or if I understand you clearly, yeah, is that employees should actually not work if they do not have the proper skills, they do not have the proper training. So it's the job of the employer to see that employees get their training through their training centers, through so that the business at the end of the day should be compliant.
Indeed, absolutely, Prof. In actual fact, one of the requirements of the Employment Equity Act is to say that your committee must be trained on the Employment Equity Act. Now, what we normally do is we don't only train the committee, we actually train management, because who are the people that sits in interviews and make those decisions? In the term and succession planning, who is the people that determine who is going to get training? Who I'm going to give that opportunity? So management needs to understand the Employment Equity Act so that they're not making themselves guilty of discrimination, and make sure that they improve transformation in the workplace.
Yes.
Did you mention earlier, Luzette, that employment equity committees will be discarded, and then the employers must negotiate with the trade unions.
It doesn't say explicitly that they're going to be excluded. It just states now that the employer should consult now with the representative trade union and not the employees. And that's a bit confusing because you're not making provision for companies that doesn't have a trade union. And also, what if you only have a trade union that's, for example, white male or white male orientated? The purpose of a committee is to have people represented all races and genders at all levels. Now you only want to consult with the trade union. How do you get the inputs of all the genders and races? So that for me is problematic.
Mm. Okay, Ms. Van Wyk, there's just one more question I would like to ask, ma'am. How does the amended EEA, Employment Equity Act, address issues of pay equity and the gender pay gap for colored and Indian individuals?
Yes, Prof, that's a very important topic. As we know, it's all not new. Equal pay for equal work has been there for a few years by now. And even in an Employment Equity Act, it states that it's assessment that will also be taken place before a company can be issued with a compliance certificate. So you can comply with your numerical targets. However, if you don't comply with this, equal pay for equal work, you will not be able to get a compliance certificate. In other words, you will be facing penalties, or you will not be able to do business with government. However, it's very important for people to understand it doesn't mean because I'm a manager and you're a manager, we need to get or earn the same salary. There's actually in the Employment Equity Act a section where it says what you need to assess, like length of service, responsibility of the position, the actual duties, responsibilities, the conditions, the actual business. There's a lot of factors that need to be considered to determine whether people are earning the same or more or less the same salary. In other words, whether you're fair when it comes to remuneration.
Maybe the last one from me, Lozette, is that deal between Solidarity and government about this issue. Solidarity wanted to take them to the Concord, so they brokered a deal regarding the amended equity plan act.
Yeah, it wasn't for me a surprise because what they actually agreed upon is already been there. It's already been stated in the Employment Equity Act, for an example, that you do not, you're not allowed to create any barrier with, to prevent any person from any gender or race to do employment, like we just explained now that this scheme matter. That's it wasn't allowed. There's already made provision for justifiable reasons if you're not reaching your numerical targets. In other words, government is not going to just simply impose a penalty. They will obviously look into the factors why you have not reached your numerical targets. And again, to say that you cannot exclude people or appoint people just based on their race. You still need to consider inherent requirements. Now, those points have been in Employment Equity Act all these years.
Mm. So it wasn't really a big, big win for Solidarity?
Not according to my view. For me, it's not a surprise.
Mm.
That's how it's been implemented, and that's how we applied it all these years.
It is 7:15 here on Port FM. We're rounding off the conversation with Lozette Van Wyk. Lozette, is daar enige iets wat jy dink wil jy nog add na hierdie geselsie of?
Pablo, iets wat ek nogals opgelet het, wat ek gehoor het, toe die een dame een comment gemaakt het om te sê, jy weet, as jy nou kyk bijvoorbeeld na die Western Cape, daar gaan ons nou natuurlijk meer kleerlinge wees as Africans moontlik. Wat mense net in acht moet neem, as jy kyk na die numerical targets wat geset is per sector, maak nou nie saak wat se sector het is nie. Elke provinsie het sy eie targets, en jy sal sien dat in die Western Province is die colored, se targets, where is the Africans? Selfs KwaZulu-Natal, Alhoewel, ek het nogals, en dit is nie net ek nie, baie van die leiers daar buiten, voel dat as jy kyk die, KwaZulu-Natal weet ons, dit is obviously majority Indian, maar as jy kyk die percentasie versus die African, is dit nogals heeltemal disproportioneel, dit maak glad nie sin, jy weet, dit is verskriklik baie na aan African, en ons weet vir 'n feit dat Indian is baie meer in KwaZulu-Natal. So, dit sal interessant wees as governments ons kan verduidelik, hoe het hulle gekom by die statistics? Maar dit is belangrik om in ag te neem dat hulle het dit wel in ag geneem, so die percentages is bietjie anders as dit kom per province. Dis hy.
As dit...
Ja, ek dink ons het die belangrikste mee gehanteer. Ek weet nie of daar nog enige ander verdere vrae is nie.
Nee, niks aan my kant af nie. En ek dink hierdie onderhoud was so baie keer bespound dat ons dit nou uiteindelik het vanaand en ek is baie bly. As julle geluister het en nog onseker is en wil vra, stuur het maar aan die stasie of stuur het aan my. Ek sal het vir Lozette stuur en as hy vir my antwoord, dan sal ek het vir jou stuur en dan kan al jou vraag beantwoord is. So Lozette, baie dankie. Jy was fantastisch.
Ach, dit is net een plezier. Baie dankie dat julle my gehad het hier so.
Thank you very much, ma'am. And that brings us to the end of our interview with Ms. Lozette van Wyk. It's a good thing that ma'am actually just came to clear out the doubts out of the minds of people from Estrus and around the surrounding areas, because people, people start panicking as soon as they start hearing that, you know, there are threats to our future. And I think in one of the voices of people from Estrus, they said that, look, we are not just talking about a job over here. We are talking about food taken from my table. So, and when it comes to my provision for my family, we are not playing over there. We are talking serious business. But once again, thank you very much, ma'am. We hope that in future end of words, we'll be having the same. And I wish you a very good luck on your way forward. All right, ladies and gents, you are thank still you. With us here on Port FM 88.2, the host. We'll be going for some ad breaks and then... afterward, we will resume with our show. Thanks for everyone who has been here, ma'am, who has been here tonight.